I want to welcome you to Selma Christ and New Burlington United Methodist Church. My name is Pastor Andy Martin, and I'm so glad that you have joined us on this Sunday morning. Truly, this is the day that the Lord's made, and we will rejoice and will be glad in it. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 100, verses 6 and 7, he says to us, "Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for He is our God. We are the people that He watches over, the flock under His care." Let's pray together. Loving God, we are so grateful that we truly are Your flock under Your care. Lord, that we don't have to be afraid, that You go before us in all things and in all ways, and no matter what our circumstances, no matter where we are, You are with us, and You watch over us, and You walk with us, and You lead us. God, we just give you all of our praise this morning as we gather as Your church to celebrate and to share in Your good news, the truth that You love us with an amazing love, and there's nothing that we can do, there's nowhere that we can go, there's nothing that we can be that would stop Your love for us, Your desire for us to walk with You and to be Your children of light. Lord, we pray this morning for those who are in their homes, still waiting for that day that we no longer have to be at the stay at home. And God, we just ask that You would bring patience and comfort and help and healing to all, especially, Lord, be with those who are hurting this day, or those who are ill. Those who are suffering from being just alone. Lord, just wrap Your arms around and bring Your healing touch, Your renewal, Your strength, Your peace in every way as we give each of those who are worshiping with us this morning, as we just lift each of us, Lord, before Your mighty throne. Touch and renew us, and do that work in us that each one of us need, we ask. For we pray this, Jesus, in Your precious name. Amen. Well, last Sunday, we looked again at Saul's conversion and how he came to trust in Jesus. And we also saw how Ananias trusted in his dream, his vision, to go to Saul and to help, to heal him. And then we looked at how hard it was for the disciples to trust Saul, and how it even took maybe even 14 years for some to fully trust that Saul, now Paul, was a true believer. So last week's focus was really about trust, trusting people when it's hard to trust, and trusting God's leading, and trusting in the transforming work of God. So last week's focus was then on trust. And if we were to sum up this week's focus with one word, I think you were going to find that word would be risk. Risk. And I think that's a good word for us to consider today, because all of life is full of risk, especially when we're talking about relationships and people. Today we're going to look at a passage from Acts chapter 9 where Barnabas finds himself in a situation where he has to make a decision to take a risk on a relationship that no one around him was willing to take. In this story, Barnabas has to overcome a number of common obstacles to taking risks by faith. And ultimately, he invested himself in a risky relationship that shaped the course of Christianity for the better. Let's hear the word of the Lord from the book of Acts, chapter 9, beginning with verse 26. When Saul arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to meet with the believers, but they were all afraid of him. They did not believe he truly became a believer. Then Barnabas brought him to the apostles and told them how Saul had seen the Lord on the way to Damascus and how the Lord spoken to Saul. He also told them that Saul had preached boldly in the name of Jesus in Damascus. So Saul stayed with the apostles and went around Jerusalem with them, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. He debated with some Greek-speaking Jews, but they tried to murder him. When the believers heard about this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him away to Tarsus, his hometown. All the church then had peace throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, and it became stronger as the believers lived in the fear of the Lord, and with the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, it also grew in numbers. All this is God's word for you, God's people. Saul, a newly converted disciple who was formerly an enemy of the church, came back to Jerusalem, the very place that he was commissioned to hunt down Christians, hoping to meet up with the believers. Oh, but they weren't interested, and we can't really blame them. They knew who this man was, what he had done to their family and friends, and they maybe even heard that he had changed, maybe they even wanted to believe that he had changed, but it just sounded too good to be true. They didn't want to take a chance that this rumored conversion was just that, a rumor. And I think that if we put ourselves in the shoes of those early believers, we probably would have done some of the same things. And I have to ask why. Why is that? What keeps us from taking a risk on people? You know, I think the number one reason why people sometimes can't or won't take a risk on someone else is fear. Fear. Oh, fear can keep us from taking a risk. We might fear failure in the form of rejection. I mean, after all, who wants to be rejected, especially in relationships? Or we wonder, will they accept me as I am? Can I tell them this part of my past? Can I really open up to them? And when it comes to taking a risk on someone who has hurt us, especially hurt us deeply in the past, no doubt we are most afraid of being hurt again. Maybe you've been hurt by an ex or a business partner or an employer or maybe even by a friend. And they come to you and they say, I've changed. We want to believe that they can change, right? But we're afraid. Oh, Saul had hurt people. He had thrown men and women into prison. He had no doubt broken up families. He wasn't just opposed to Christianity. He was dedicated to destroying it. And if you were a Christian living back then, and you heard Saul was coming to town, you'd probably hide or try to get out of town. When he showed up in Jerusalem, no doubt rumors began to circulate that he had changed. But still, the wise thing would have been to disregard the rumors. Remember, the disciples weren't just protecting themselves, they were protecting the entire community of believers. Taking a risk on one man just didn't seem worth it. Oh, sometimes fear can sound like wisdom. You know, do you really think that's a good idea? did you really hear from God about that? Oh, I'm not afraid of failing, I'm just being careful. Sometimes fear can sound a lot like wisdom. But you know, God doesn't rationalize our fear. He conquers it. That's why God told Joshua to be strong and courageous in Joshua 1:9. Essentially, he was saying to Joshua, get moving. Don't be afraid. Just go, and I'll go with you. Oh, fear wants to keep us right where we are when God has a better destination for us. Fear will keep you from taking a risk. Secondly, doubt will also keep us from taking risks. Doubt will keep us from taking risks. If you had been in these believers' shoes, would you believe that God could change Saul? You know, you know the saying, if something sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Oh, Saul, the number one enemy of Christians, becomes one of them. It just had to sound way too good to be true. It's understandable to be cautious when someone comes to us claiming to have changed. What if they're wrong? Or what if they're lying? We'll just get hurt again. Maybe you've been hurt by someone over and over. And now you're at the point where you just don't feel like you can ever trust that person again. Oh, we know that we're supposed to believe that God can change anyone. It's just that there seems to be so many people who never do change. And if we're talking about a person who can harm us, the safer thing is to stick with my doubt, right? I mean, why take a risk on a lost cause? We tell ourselves. All fear and doubt keep us from taking risks. Yet, there's another far more sinister reason that keeps us from taking risk on people. And that, friends, is cynicism. Oh, cynicism keeps us from taking a risk. Cynicism happens when we decide that our preconceived prejudices represent reality. We apply them to everyone and to everything. Cynicism thinks it knows better. It tells us people don't change, that they can't be trusted. Risks are never worth it. Oh, we've figured out the way things really work. And we aren't about to be taken in like everyone else. We know what people are really like. We know their game, their motives. And we won't be fooled again. Oh, when we're cynics, we like to say, I'm just being realistic. But do you know what cynicism is? Cynicism is taking all of our fear and our doubts and making them hard. Hard. We forge our fears and our doubts into this hardened armor that we can wear to protect us from the world. That's what real cynicism is. And I doubt that all the believers in these verses were cynics, but I bet a few of them were. I mean, you just can't see your friends get arrested and killed without being a little hardened. In fact, some of these believers probably didn't care if it was true or not. Who cares about Saul? You know, let him figure out his own life. I mean, that's what he gets for everything that he's done. Cynicism hardens our heart to true relationship. And it makes future potential friends pay for the sins of past relationships. And so when we have the chance to take a risk on someone, you see, fear says they might hurt you. Doubt says they probably haven't changed. Cynicism says they will hurt you and they will never change. And you see, these are the things that often keep us from taking a risk. So how about you? How about you? Which of these do you struggle with? Especially when you've been burned a few times over. I want to let you know today, you're not alone. All the believers were feeling all of these things, which is why they steered clear of Saul. His conversion could have been an act of luring them in, or it could have been a temporary change. Yet there was another possibility. Saul really could have been transformed by God. And only one person was willing to consider that possibility. And that was Barnabas. We don't know why Barnabas decided to go looking for Saul. Perhaps they knew each other. Maybe Barnabas had heard something the others hadn't. Maybe Barnabas decided that Saul was just worth the risk. I mean, after all, we know from Acts 4:36 that Barnabas's name means son of encouragement, and we see him acting as a mediator at other times as well. Perhaps this was just Barnabas being Barnabas, just looking out for people that others had written off. Well, whatever the reason, Barnabas decided to look for Saul and find the truth for himself. And what he found changed everything. So, what did Barnabas do? And how can we be more like him? What does it look like for us to take a risk on the people God loves? Well, I think that there are three ways that we can be Barnabas for others. And the first is this: take time to hear their story. Take time to hear the story of others. Oh, someone said that the reason God gave us two ears and one mouth is because He intended for us to listen twice as much as we talk. Barnabas listened. Oh, he didn't just make up his mind by what he heard about Saul. The rest of the believers, they assumed they knew everything they needed to. They knew everything they needed to know about Saul. Either they assumed they had already knew his story, or they were too afraid to find out differently. Have you ever been driving your car and someone cuts you off? Oh, no blinkers, no warning, no nothing. And you think to yourself, what a jerk. After all, you wouldn't say idiot, right? But what happens whenever it's you? What happens when it's you that do the cutting off? You're the one distracted by a wild child in the back seat exercising your lungs, or a drink that you see toppling over onto the floor, and you become the one changing lanes without your blinker or cutting off the guy behind you. And of course, now he's waving at you with one finger, and it's not the thumbs up. Oh, he's all excited, but you aren't near as mad at yourself. In fact, you think, I didn't even see them, or I was distracted because my cup fell, or... Oh, you see, when we know the circumstances of our mistake, we're a lot more forgiving. Oh, but when we don't know someone else's story, it keeps distance between us and them. It makes it easier for us to judge them, to write them off, or even be afraid of them. Oh, when we listen to someone else's story, our opinion of them often changes because we understand them. We realize where they're coming from, the circumstances they might have, the circumstances that might have affected their choices and behavior. Maybe Barnabas wanted to hear Saul's story. Maybe he wanted to understand what had led to such a dramatic change in Saul's life. And boy, did Saul ever have a story to tell. Oh, the second way we can be a Barnabas for other people is to verify the facts. To verify the facts. If all we do is take someone at their word, there could be devastating consequences. It's important to remember that Barnabas didn't insist the church welcome Saul until he had met with him to check out his story. Oh, Barnabas wanted to make sure Saul was for real, because if it was a lie, the entire church would be in danger. Well, let me be clear. Being willing to take risks on people does not mean that we carelessly open ourselves up to abuse. Oh, we need to discern for ourselves whether God is truly at work in their lives, or whether they're simply trying to manipulate us. Oh, there is a difference between forgiveness and reconciliation. We ought always to forgive, and that's a given. But reconciliation is not always a given. If reconciliation is to occur, the facts must be verified. Has true repentance occurred? Is there a willingness to make restitution? Is there evidence of a changed life? Oh, I don't know what all Barnabas and Saul talked about. Maybe Barnabas asked Saul to tell his story several times so he could see if there was any inconsistencies. Maybe Barnabas had already talked to other people who knew the story and wanted to see if Saul's version lived up with theirs or lined up with theirs. Or perhaps God had revealed the truth to Barnabas and he just wanted to make sure Saul was still a committed follower. Whatever Barnabas did to verify the facts, he left convinced. Oh, he made sure that all of his doubts were addressed before he brought Saul to the rest of the disciples. Notice, though, that once his doubts were taken care of, Barnabas acted decisively. Oh, he didn't sit around for a month wondering what he should do. Once he became convinced of the truth of Saul's story, he knew that it was time for Saul to meet the apostles. Oh, listen, if you have doubts about someone, verify the facts. But once you do, keep moving. Always listen to them and verify. And then keep moving. And then there's something else we need to do if we're going to be a Barnabas for others. And that is to trust in God's power. To trust in God's power. This third way we can be like Barnabas is actually the first thing that we probably need to do. And that is reject cynicism and trust in God's power. Oh, if we decide to take a risk on someone and yet begin the process with a cynical attitude, we aren't taking a risk at all. We're simply waiting for the person to fail us because we're assuming they will. If we're really going to take a risk on the people God loves, we need to get rid of our cynicism right at the beginning. Oh, you see, Jesus... We never see Jesus being cynical in the Gospels. And why is that? Because cynics pride themselves on being real, on being realistic, on understanding the way the world really works. But listen, no one understood people or the world better than Jesus. So why wasn't he a cold, jaded cynic? Because Jesus knew the power of God. Jesus understood better than anyone else that God could transform people. Oh, and some of the Sadducees tried to trap him with a trick question. Jesus told them what their problem was. In Matthew 22, 29, he says, "You do not know the scriptures or the power of God." Oh, cynicism cannot be our starting point. We have to trust in the power of God. Because if he can't change people, no one can. Oh, and in each of his appearances in the book of Acts, Barnabas conveys his confidence and trust in God's power. He is willing to intercede for people whom others have given up on. He knew what God could do, and so he went to Saul without any hesitation. Oh, church. You know what? At some point in our lives, we've all had a Barnabas in our corner. Someone who believed in us when no one else did. They were willing to take a risk on us, and it changed our lives. Oh, we've all needed a Barnabas. And you know, there may very well be someone you know today, someone in your life today that needs you to be a Barnabas for them. Oh, listen, we need to move past our fear and be willing to hear their story. Oh, we need to overcome our doubts by verifying the facts. Oh, we need to reject cynicism and trust in God's power. Barnabas took a risk, and it changed the world. Just think what God can do with each one of us if we are willing to take a risk. Let's pray. Loving God, help us to be like Barnabas, to take the risk, Lord, to love, to take the risk, Jesus, to put ourselves out there, to trust in your power, Jesus, to be allowed to know that you are the God who leads us and that we can trust that leading. And so when you move us, Jesus, we can have faith and that we can trust and that we can be your people, and that we can even take the risk of opening ourselves up and being vulnerable, even in those times where we've been harmed before. Lord Jesus, just open our minds and open our hearts to you, and help us, Jesus, to be your shining light in our world, and especially to those who need that special touch from you right now. For it's in the name of Jesus we ask this and we pray. Amen. Go now in the peace and the presence and the grace of the God who loves you and who loves all. And may you share together in his peace and his strength, and in the sure confidence that God is with you always. Amen.